And now we are joining with Chicago Tabernacle. Fully Tab, let's put our hands together for our family in Chicago. Hey, everyone in Chicago. God bless you guys. We trust you're having an amazing day. Good morning to all of our online family. Today is a special day because we have CTPT in the house. A lot of people from Chicago are here. We've had an amazing week reaching out to the community, and lots of people have received love and kindness and support, and most of all, accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. We'll probably play a video for you guys coming up soon there in Chicago if you didn't do that today. But we're so excited. We're one church in two cities, and now we're going to really open up the Bible. And you know, I've been contemplating this series, I keep having this song from my childhood. You know, you amuse yourself. So I keep having this song from my childhood come up. It wasn't a Christian song because I didn't grow up as a Christian. But when I was a kid, there was a song that said, "Everybody plays the fool sometime." How many know that song? Right? There's no exception to the rule. Maybe factual, maybe cruel, but everybody plays the fool sometimes. And I remember listening to that as a kid, and as I've been studying the book of Proverbs, one of the things the book of Proverbs, which is a book of wisdom, one of the things that it talks about a lot is the difference between wisdom and foolishness, among other contrasting things. And part of the call of God, or the plan of God for our lives, is that as you grow in God, you get trapped or you get drawn away, or you don't give in, so to speak, to foolishness. We want to become wise. How many want to be wise with your choices, with your decisions, right? You don't want to play the fool. And I remember being a kid saying, "Man, I don't want to be the fool." You grow up in the hood, you're like, don't get fooled, and on and on and on. And in a lot of ways, wisdom is what enables us not to play the fool or to get fooled. And it's a real big deal. Now, when you think about wisdom, I want you to understand that one of the things that wisdom produces is spiritual balance. Okay? Spiritual balance. Wisdom enables you to develop spiritual balance because you need spiritual balance. The Bible talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. When I took an Uber to church this morning, Chrissy came a little bit earlier. I took an Uber to church, and I always try to, you know, talk with Uber drivers, and you know, the lady was a little bit caught up with people's color, and I was like, Jesus came for everybody, right? And she goes, "But I know the Bible." I'm like, "Yeah, but if you're not understanding that Jesus came for everybody, you're not correctly dividing the word of truth. You're not practicing balance. Because Jesus is for everybody." I told her, "My mom was darker than you, and my dad was lighter than you. And guess what? Jesus loves all four of us." How many know I'm happy that Jesus don't look at any of that? Well, you can read the Bible in such a way that it'll make you think this or that. Real wisdom gives you balance. Let me give you a couple of quick examples. So, for example, in the book of Ephesians, the Bible says, "Speak the truth in love." That's balance. Okay, some people, "I tell the truth, I tell it like it is." Yeah, but if you're ripping everybody to shreds with the truth, you're not helping them. It needs balance. We're called to speak the truth in love. I'm going to say amen. The Bible, when you describe the perfect Jesus, look, it says, Revelation chapter 5 says, look, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And then it says, "Then I saw a lamb." Jesus was both lion and lamb all in one. Perfect spiritual balance. Part of Jesus was he was the lion of the tribe of Judah, but there goes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Matthew tells us that we have to be shrewd as snakes, but innocent as doves. Balance. This is all over the Bible. The Bible says when it came to leadership, there's a great leadership verse. David shepherded them with integrity of heart in his private place with God, and then with skillful hands, he led them in a public way. We talk about private health leads to public fruitfulness. Balance. That's what wisdom is all about, and we've been talking about that, and it's been an amazing thing how God has been coaching us. A couple of weeks ago, he was talking about relational prosperity and blessing, and in a sense, professional prosperity and blessing. Let me give you a quick picture here, and I hope that this could mark your life when you look at the Bible, because then when you're receiving teaching or when you're receiving the word, you could find the balance. Is it so before I put this up, we just were lifting our hands, we were singing loud to God. I grew up in a church that the way to worship God was like this. But how many know sometimes you go like this, but sometimes, because maybe you got to humble yourself before God and say, God, I've sinned against you, whatever. But how many know the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It's not one or the other, it's both. It's balance. So watch this. One of the messages in the series a couple weeks ago, could you throw that up for me? We read from Proverbs 3:3-4, it says, let love and faithfulness never leave you, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. This is not just relational advice, your relationship with God, your relationship with people. This is also career advice. Because you show me a faithful worker who operates with the kindness of love and God, that person is going to get promoted. Person who shows up on time, the person who does their job faithfully, on and on. This is kind of relational advice, and those kinds of people at work and in all relationships, they become favored. Like, that worker is my favorite. Some bosses think that's my favorite worker. I'm telling you right now. You show me a person who's full of love, good attitude, full of faithfulness, always on time, punctual, committed, favor. You see? So, love and faith are what we're supposed to pursue. That's part of balance. Today, I'm going to read a verse to you that's the other side of this. And honestly, I don't remember ever speaking a full message on just this verse and using these specific words, but these words are quite powerful. Ecclesiastes 7:7, listen to this. Extortion turns a wise person into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. Extortion turns a wise person into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. So now, this is the other side of kind of relational and professional advice. God, the Bible's giving us career advice and relational advice. Throw this up. And this is, one thing is what we're called to pursue, but now this is what we're called to avoid. Okay? So what are we called to avoid? We're called to avoid extortion and bribery. If you and I will avoid extortion and bribery, we will live lives that are built on freedom versus bondage. I'll break this down for you. I want you to think about this image in your life, because this will help you in a lot of different ways. But let me, before I pray, and then we'll unpack all of this, extortion turns a wise person into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. That you pursue, this you avoid. Some things you pursue as a Christian, other things you avoid as a Christian. And let me just put it this way to you. We were talking about the fact that wisdom tells you what to go after, right? And now we're saying, this is the title of the message today, now we're saying wisdom doesn't give in. Real wisdom doesn't give in. Give in to what? Extortion and bribery. So let's pray. I know that this is heavy, but it's really, really good. Come on. Come on, let me hear amen in Chicago and in Philadelphia. So let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this time. Breathe on our time. Breathe on your word. And I pray for spiritual balance. I pray that relationally your people would experience your favor as they pursue love and faithfulness. But I also pray that everyone here would experience freedom in all of their relationships because they avoid and resist extortion and temptation towards bribery. Bless this word. Bless our time. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen, hallelujah. What are we talking about today? This has a lot to do with how you see and how you pursue and how you come into provision, relational blessing and prosperity in your life. So here's what the Bible says. Number one, wisdom perceives extortion. Everybody say extortion. It's a very unique word, okay? And here's the definition of extortion, and I'll show you why wisdom perceives it. Could you put up the next slide for me? Here's the definition of extortion is as follows, okay? Extortion is fundamentally yielding to oppression. Extortion takes place when somebody has something over you from your past, like if you made a mistake and say, oh, I know your secret. And so if you don't do what I tell you, well, I'm going to tell everybody. That's partially extortion. Another form of extortion is when somebody threatens to take away something from you that is valued in your present. Extortion starts in the schoolyard when we're about 5 years old, okay? Here's what happens. We're 5 years old or 6 years old, and some little kid says to another little kid, if you don't do this, then I won't be your friend. You know what you call that, right? That's extortion, okay? And it grows and grows and grows, and we actually start to embrace this as a lifestyle, and relationally speaking, we accept all of these things that somebody says, if you don't do this, then you can't have my love. Okay? So think about the drug problem in Philadelphia and all over our country, right? So many people, how do people get hooked on drugs, right? How do people become alcoholics? I'm going to tell you, I'm convinced that 95% of them always started through peer pressure. Somebody is in the seventh grade or they're sophomore in high school and they're in a group. They've never had a drink before, but four people are drinking. They've never smoked before. Four people are smoking. They're like, come on, try it. And why do they take that, whatever you call it, toke? Oh, I forget how you say that. I mean, it's been a while, right? So when they take the pull off of the joint, why do they do that? Because they like, oh, I wanna get high. No, it's because they don't want to lose. They don't want to be rejected. And you know what you call that? That's extortion. And can I tell you something? We have to train our kids not to be extorted by the world. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, what is fundamentally going on? And here's where you start to see the wisdom component. What is fundamentally going on when we are giving into extortion is, I want to put this image for you. Here's what giving into extortion really speaks to. You see, wisdom, real wisdom, has faith in God's hand. Everybody say God's hand. God's hand over the faucet of your life. Whose hand is over the faucet of your life? Is it God's hand or is it somebody else's hand? Is it your friend's hand? Is it your mother's hand? Is it your father's hand? Is it your uncle's hand? Is it your boss's hand? Whose hand is over the faucet of your life? Because if you don't have faith in God's hand, everybody say God's hand, over the faucet of your life, then you're going to be tempted to give in to extortion. See, extortion gives up faith in God's hand over the faucet of your life, and it gives that power to somebody or something else, or, you know, something else, and is held captive by it. So if you don't move in with me, right, and mess around with me before we get married, then I'll go date someone else. Ladies, say adios, amigo. Come on, somebody say amen. Because that means that I've got to do this in order for me to have your love. That's not really love. That's extortion. You see? There are all kinds of business relationships where in order to have this business, people say cheat a little here. Cheat a little there, cheat a little here. The boss is saying cheat a little there. And you're like, well, you can't have this job if you don't cheat. Well, then you can take your job because your hand is not over the faucet of your life, of my life. I'm here to declare to you in Chicago, to everyone online, you need to lift your eyes to who's your real provider, and you need to start realizing the blessing of the Lord will be released in you if you put your faith in God's hand. And wisdom says, I will not compromise, I won't give in. I'm not giving into that. I'm going to go God's will, God's way. I want it God's way and no other way because I want to stay free. And by the way, whenever you put your life under someone else's control like that, just know it turns you into a fool. You think that you're loyal and faithful to people, but if they lack integrity, if they don't want to honor God, if somebody's trying to move you away from pursuing the favor of God, then I'm telling you right now, it turns you into a fool. So funny, I'm not going to call them out, but we have so many beautiful stories at our church, and literally, this week, I just met a young lady here who has made some major, major decisions that impact her significant relationships. But she's like, you know what? I am trusting the hand of God over my life. And let me tell you, God wants to open that faucet of blessing. Does anybody here believe that? Do you believe God? Come on, lift your hands with me right now. Come on, lift your hands. Let's pray for a second. In Chicago, this is good thing to pray in the morning. God, I trust you and I believe you to open the faucet of blessing over my life. I don't look to man. I look to you, King Jesus. I look to you, Heavenly Father. You're the one who will bless me and help me and guide me and lead me into your perfect plan and purposes for my life. And I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You know, so many of our kids in college, they actually go away from their Christian principles because I remember I was a baby Christian and I was just learning the Bible, anthropology class professor in college, and he loved to put down Christianity, and I had nothing for him. You know, I wasn't ready yet. I had nothing for him. And now, on the contrary, I remember Annie being like, 9 years old, and in school, and I didn't grow up reading the Bible. This is real relational advice, and this is also parental advice, okay? Bring your kids to church, okay? And do devos with your kids and teach your kids the Bible. If you teach them now, those seeds will turn into powerful roots, and then they grow up and they're like a tree, the Bible says. So I remember there was a teacher who said something so crazy about God, and she stood up and she was like confronting the teacher with the Bible, you know. Why? Because she understood from early on, no, the Word of God is true. The promises of God are real. The promises of God are yea and amen. And we don't have to worry about what people think. How many know it's better to worry about what God thinks instead of what anybody else thinks? We need to say, I avoid, I resist, I reject all forms of extortion. Wisdom doesn't give in. Wisdom doesn't give in to fear. It doesn't give in to doubt. And by the way, if someone has something over you in your life, would you get that right so that they can't keep bringing it over your head? Just bring it into the light. It's powerful how forgiveness flows when people humble themselves and ask for forgiveness. I want to give you these two quick thoughts here. One verse. G.K. Chesterton said this. If they could send me a keyboard player, we're going to be going into communion in a little bit. But listen to this. A dead thing can go with the stream, but only a living thing can go against it. Philosopher said this. A dead thing can go against can go with the stream, but only a living thing can go against it. Now, why am I sitting here talking about this? This is one of those days, and the wisdom... Every time I do a series on wisdom, I'm like, I feel like dad having a meeting with the kids. Because when you talk about the concepts of wisdom, right, you're really, in a sense, messing with where people live relationally. And I'm going to tell you this, fear of man will be a snare to your life. Okay? Fear of man. If you go to work and all the guys curse and all the guys say filthy things about women and all the guys say this and you don't want to be rejected, so you join in and you laugh with them and all that. Okay, you do that, but what you don't realize is that you're looking to them for acceptance instead of looking higher for blessing. You know, another quick story, when I first gave my heart to the Lord and I left baseball, I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. I was working at a chicken place called Chicken Express, and everybody ought to work at least one time in a chicken place. And so, I did work my way to manager, and I was working at a chicken place, and I was reading this book, a Christian book. And they had some construction workers there. And during lunch, they opened the book. And one of the chapters was talking about sexual purity. And these guys were howling, laughing and laughing and laughing. And I remember the moment of feeling embarrassed for wanting to honor God. How many know that if you look over the course of time, anyone who mocks the word of God ends up defeated? How many would say amen? So people howl and people mock and people belittle and they're together. But when life starts to unfold, they always end up defeated. But how many know whoever stands for God rises strong and experiences the blessing and the goodness of God. And so wisdom doesn't give in and says, I don't care what you think. Real wisdom thinks about what God thinks. And here's what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to think about what it means in our relationships, what it means at work, what it means when we go to the coffee shop. What does it mean to really stand for God instead of worry about what everyone thinks? Because when we worry about what people think, we're giving up the favor of God being poured out upon our lives. Wisdom does not give in. Somebody say amen to that, because it's good and true. Come on, I can't hear you in Chicago. Here's the second thing. By the way, we were actually, as we were researching this, you need to contemplate this as well, because I've had this conversation with a lot of people. You know, there's something called Stockholm Syndrome. Anybody ever hear of Stockholm Syndrome? Stockholm Syndrome means that it's possible to actually defend the people who are taking advantage of you. Okay? So the farther we get away from the voice of wisdom, the easier it is for us to accept things that keep us literally in bondage. And part of what a message like this is supposed to do is it's supposed to help us to look at our lives and to push past what we've experienced for many, many years and say, what is it that God really has for me? Do I have to settle for what's in front of me? Or does God have something more? Everybody say, God has something more. And so I won't give in except for his best. Wisdom doesn't give in, and it all begins by perceiving extortion. When I think about strong, healthy Christians, here's what I think about. I think about you at your job, at school, you in your relationships, and no matter what, a lot of things come your way, but you just stand and say, I belong to the Lord. I love you, but I belong to the Lord. You're like, man, that's all you got, stand? Yes, because that's what releases the blessing of God. Wisdom doesn't give in, wisdom stands. Here's the second thing that this text says. It says bribery corrupts the heart, and so wisdom doesn't trade the future for the present. Wisdom doesn't trade the future for the present. So on one side of this truth is, don't let anybody extort you. Don't let places, people extort you. But on the other side is, if you want the blessing of God, if you want the favor of God, the freedom of God, don't give in to any form of bribery. Now, here's the definition of bribery. This is a real interesting thing, especially as we go to take communion today. Bribery is the act of offering someone money or something valuable in order to persuade them to do something for you, something that you want, okay? Now, that comes right out of the dictionary, but the biblical dictionary says bribery is fundamentally a rejected offering. So whenever we engage in shortcut decisions, shortcut relationships, shortcut business practices that are good for us, not good for everyone else, that are a form of cheating, God sees that as an offering that he completely rejects. And so even though we might make some money in the short run, how many know in the long run the blessing of God is not on that? But if we do what's right, even though maybe it's less in the short run, how many know God will bless us in the long run? He will pour it out upon our lives. This is everywhere. How many remember Lance Armstrong? How many remember Lance Armstrong? Okay? No, we're not going to go to that yet. But I want to show you, I want to give you the faucet illustration in a second. Could you put this up? And then I want to show you something about Lance Armstrong. Put the faucet up. So again, what is wisdom? Wisdom has faith in God's hand over the faucet of your life. Bribery is attempting to put your own hand on the faucet of your life. About 4 months ago, I was talking to a young businessman, and I was saying to him, listen to me, you've got to stop cheating. No, here's what they said. I got to cheat one more time, because if I don't cheat this one more time, then it's all going to crumble. And I said, no. If you cheat one more time, that might be the time that it all crumbles. But the minute that you stop cheating and you put your faith in God's hand, you never know how God is going to deliver you. I'm telling you right now, someone who's in trouble, don't cheat. Don't go the shortcut way. Look up to the hand of God, because He's ready to forgive. He's ready to transform. He's ready to help. He's ready to pull you out of the hole. He's ready. He's able by His mighty power. No more secrets. Live in the light. Live free. God has it for you. But you got to go God's way. And wisdom says, I'm not going to put my hand on the faucet, because I'm trying to help God. Wisdom never trades the future for the present. One of the most classic examples now is Lance Armstrong. I was into biking. I used to be a Lance Armstrong fan until I found out the truth. And listen to this. So Lance Armstrong, everybody knows Lance Armstrong, right? Listen to this. He won 7 Tour de France titles, which if you understand what it means to win the Tour de France, it's beyond, beyond, beyond. He won it 7 times. And it turns out that he was cheating, but here's the way it went. Lance, when somebody joined his team, which meant they were going to be rich and famous, what Lance would do is he required that his teammates, okay, they had to participate in the doping program outlined for them, or he would just replace them. Sooner or later, it comes out. He bribed the union. He sued people who said that he was wrong, but sooner or later, he lost everything. He lost $75 million in sponsorships in one day. It was all gone, because when you trade the future for the present, that short-term thing will evaporate just like that. And yet, the heart that says, I don't give in to bribes, that heart sleeps so well. Listen, God wants us to sleep well. And the way that we sleep well is we say, Lord, I don't need to cheat. I don't need to take the shortcut. God, I trust you, God. What'd you do this Sunday at church? You know what I did this Sunday at church? I declared my trust in God. What'd you do this Sunday at church? You know what I did this Sunday in church? I made some decisions to move into the place where God could pour out His blessing upon my life. Anybody want to be blessed by the living God, then we say, Lord, we will not give in to any short-term plans of the enemy, no shortcuts, none of those things. I'm going to close with these verses in Corinthians. Listen, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says this, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And so here's what we're going to pray today. We're going to pray for every career. Anybody need some career blessing? Could I see your hands? Right? We're going to pray for every career. We're going to pray for all relationships today in Chicago and here. But the first thing we want to do is we want to make sure that we're right with God and we allow Him the opportunity to remove any hint of bribery or extortion. Some people need to make some decisions to walk away from relationships or circumstances or situations that are built on extortion. And some people today need to say, no more cheating. It's like, man, that's what I came to church for? Yes! Yes, because the blessing that is released into a person's life when they say, I'm going to stand for the Lord, is greater than all of the forces. It's better than interest rates dropping. It's better than who gets into the White House. How many know, no matter any of those things, how many know Jesus is able to bless you and protect you and watch over you?